We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Herbie, we're late. I'm sorry.
Let's go. Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Just had some things on my mind. We got a lot of great guests on the show. So I've got more candy for the White Sox before we get out of here, though. Cam Ellis does a lot of great stuff for us here at Odyssey. And we've made him a weekly contributor to the show, which we like. He joins me now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Cam?
Hey, not too much. How you doing, Lawrence?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm excited for the Bears to take on the Packers in a game that feels significant. It feels like a significant game. I don't think that the Bears are very good, but the more you are given opportunities and the more that you win games that you're not supposed to, like last week, the more it makes sense to enjoy some of this goodness that we're seeing.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Like, it is mid-October, and the Bears are playing in kind of meaningful games, like exciting, meaningful football games against the Packers. Like, it sort of feels like one of the first really important games of the year. So I agree. Like, it is as exciting as these games get, I think.
What did you think of how Justin Fields was deployed in last week's game?
You know, it made sense to me, I guess, in terms of the timeline that the Bears coaches are trying to bring him along. You know, I think that while he is obviously QB1 going forward, like we all know, I think that there's very clearly still a limited section within the playbook within he operates. And I think the Bears are doing that purposefully, whether you like that or not. I think that's a different debate entirely, but it makes sense in terms of what their vision is. It was not the most glamorous game by any means, but I think any single quarterback who's ever played in the NFL will tell you a non-glamorous win is a win all the same. So I think there's plenty of reason to be happy. You know, was he lighting it up? No, but I think that going on the road and beating a Raiders team that people thought were good, maybe not necessarily as good as people thought, but a good road win, I think, and you sort of can look past what don't look like great stats.
Right. And obviously things were clearly weird with Vegas last week. And inside that organization, there was a lot of stuff that was going on, but that's not, the Bears shouldn't have to apologize for that. They went in there and they did their job and won the game in convincing fashion. Going forward with this offense, I enjoyed watching them use the tight ends because they had a lot of tight end injuries this past week and saying, all right, Alex Barrs, you're now a tight end and we're going to put you in motion and all sorts of stuff. Seeing them be able to, in a lot of cases, be able to run the ball and play kind of a short yardage game against Oakland was encouraging that they can change things up and still be effective.
Yeah, and look, if they're going to be able to hang in some of these games if they keep run blocking like they are. And they are a sort of surprisingly very good run blocking team. You know, they're top 10 in win rate and like up almost close to 75%. So if they can keep doing that, and yeah, the passing game is going to, you know, it hasn't been what I think people want the Justin Fields Bears passing game to look like, But you also look and go, hey, they've had historically bad passing success efficiency so far, and they're 3-2 and winning on the road. So, like, if this is as bad as – if this is the floor of what a Justin Fields offense looks like, and they're still winning road games and hanging in games like that, there are worse places to be. And it sort of felt like the Bears, considering what the season looked like it could have been, that, like, this is going pretty well for the Bears so far.
Yeah, it's a nice week for Matt Nagy, yeah. after having what was really terrible couple of weeks. Once he says Justin Fields is my guy, things start to quiet down and they could kind of get back to the business of football.
Right. And I actually asked him that the other week. I was like, hey, are you sort of relieved now that you don't have to worry about this. You don't have to answer these questions. You know, every 75% of every press conference doesn't have to be you explaining the decisions you're making, and you can just work on it. And he sort of dodged it and said, it was tough on Andy. It was tough for Justin. You know, the whole spiel, the Matt Nagy stick. But I have to imagine that there's some clarity of being able to just focus on Justin Fields, and not only just focus in practice, but not get questions and not hear about the debate. Like, it is just another week preparing for the Las Vegas Raiders. And I bet there was some peace of mind in that, whether he'll admit it or not.
What do you think happens next with this NFL investigation, Cam?
I think that at some point you're going to see something about Dan Snyder come out, right? Like, it is, and maybe that's just me being naive, but like this whole thing is an investigation into Dan Snyder and the Washington football team culture. So for all the stories and the sort of salacious bits that get leaked out to not have to do with what the actual investigation is seems bizarre to me. It seems obviously kind of tactical and purposeful. And I don't see how maybe Dan Snyder can keep running, but I don't see how this doesn't come to light in terms of what they've been doing specifically at some point. Like, I don't know where else it would go at this point.
Yeah. And it's going to leak. And it's obviously already leaked into our industry now, but what right. I keep coming back to, and I talked to some NFL people over the last couple of days, It seems like John Gruden did something to someone at the offices of the NFL,
yeah.
because they mm-hmm. the specificity of his emails being leaked, it feels like a little bit of dirty pool.
And you also don't see very often people in the know come out and say, hey, yeah, the NFL is leaking this. Like, the NFL is very much in control of when people, not only what the information comes out, but when people know the NFL is running this information, so to speak. So I think the NFL almost just was totally fine with being known as the people that leaked this one, because, you know, it brings some of this, the attention of the emails to light when they should have been brought to light far earlier. But also, yeah, they very clearly, Gruden did something wrong to them, and they very clearly had an axe to grind with him specifically, because, you know, you don't just hold on to these and then release them arbitrarily. There was very clearly stuff we don't know happening about in terms of the relationship between those two sides.
Cam, going into this game for the Bears against the Packers, if the Bears are somehow to win it, how do you envision they would do it?
I think it's going to be the defense. They're just playing so well right now. And I think when you can pass rush as well as they're doing right now, that really opens up a lot and really takes off a lot of stress and a lot of responsibility off of the other aspects of the football that haven't necessarily caught up to the pass rush. And it's not even that they're doing it more they're not even doing it more frequently. It's just that they're doing it more efficiently. And when they're getting their chances, they're hitting them. So if they can keep efficiently rushing the passer, I think that you're going to see another dominant defensive performance, and you're going to see an offense that objectively is better with Justin Fields in it, being able to hang with the Green Bay offense a little bit longer. Now, granted, like, you know, the Bears have had good defense for years, and it hasn't mattered against the Packers offense. So there's a certain aspect of Aaron Rodgers just deciding to go, no, we're not going to lose this game anymore. And that's sort of in Aaron Rodgers' hands at that point. But I think see against these historically great quarterbacks, even if you can get them sort of not necessarily moving, but if you can get to them quick and early, then that tends to leave you in games longer than if it doesn't.
Cam, as always, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks for being on the show today.
Of course. I'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it. That's Cam Ellis from Our Staff. He writes. You can see his work on 670thescore.com. Check out all. He's just funny. At Kingsley Ellis is where you can find him on Twitter. He's a funny, funny dude. We need to take a break. Adam Amin is going to be on the show. I can talk Bulls with him since the White Sox season is over, but I want to talk to him about that booth. I enjoyed those three guys. I didn't know what to expect from Adam Wainwright, but I enjoyed him trying to figure out how much the bean weighs and them getting helmet nachos and all that stuff. So we will talk with the guy who called the White Sox getting eliminated from the playoffs, Adam Amin, next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Bouncing ball to the right side. Altuve's got it. The throw to first for a fifth consecutive season. The Houston Astros are headed to the American League Championship Series.
It was hard news for White Sox fans to get, but at least the news was delivered by a trusted friend. Adam Amin did an incredible job on the broadcast of the games that were on Fox Sports 1. With Adam Wainwright and AJ Pierzynski. He's also going to do an incredible job calling Bulls games, but you already knew that because you were watching last year. He joins me now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. The Bulls play-by-play man and baseball man is now here with me on The Score. What's up, sir?
Man, I listened to you and Stoney today, brother, and man, you guys really broke it down great. Obviously Steve's insightful as all get out, but you guys really gave a great postmortem of the season. So I just wanted to point that out real quick.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you listening because Lord knows you have stuff to do and things to prep for. it was a rough way to see the White Sox season end because it was such a good season. You saw so many issues of growth like throughout that team that it's tough to see them get what I deemed last night, like they got baseballed to death, you know, like the Astros were doing all of those little things that you want to see the White Sox do at some point. And there's a reason that goes beyond whatever Ryan Tepera said that the Astros find themselves in this position.
Yeah, I agree with that. And listen, I get it. It's tough, especially when, you know, you get to playoff time. You know, you guys who watch the Sox day in and day out, you guys know all the nuances of the team. I know some, but I'm not going to know every little bit of it, right? You guys know better than I do, but we're boiling it down for a national audience. We're boiling down 160. We talked about this yesterday on the air. We're boiling 162-game season down to 3 to 5 games. And it's so hard because you guys watch nuance and you guys know tendency and you guys know what they're like at their best. You know what the White Sox are like at their best. The Astros at their best are probably a better team. I think they're probably more talented. in general. They have more future Hall of Famers. And again, I'm not talking about the past, but projecting forward, you look at numbers, you look at what these guys do. There's a lot of future Hall of Famers on this roster. Do I think the White Sox will develop some? Yeah, I do. But right now, in the current iteration of these teams that were in the playoffs this year, you know, the 10 teams that make it in Major League Baseball, the top third of the league, the White Sox are still muscling up. But where were they last year? You know, in a 16-team field, they were, you know, probably towards the bottom of that 16-team field. Now they're towards the bottom of a 10-team field. That's still an improvement. You still got five or six or seven teams better this year than you were a year ago in 2020. So the growth is definitely there, and I understand that's probably why it's frustrating, because, yo, man, back-to-back playoffs hasn't happened. Like, that's a big deal to even make it. I know last year was an expanded format, but the improvement is clearly there. And it's up to the front office now to try to build on that. And obviously it's up to the players to try to improve for next season and continue their – if they continue on their trajectories, I think they're only going to get better. And I think in general the White Sox will get better too as the front office tries to address some issues.
I want to talk about that three-man booth that you had going on Fox Sports 1. But before we specifically talk about that, you seemed impressed. And I enjoyed you like kind of holding Waino and AJ's hand in kind of giving – what White Sox fans have been through and how they showed out for games 3 and 4. What was that like calling game 3? Because it looked like it was a funeral and then it turned into a party.
Well, I said this on the air yesterday during game 4. Sunday night, and I've done NFL, college football at some of the biggest atmospheres in the country, Wisconsin, Florida State, Auburn, Alabama. I've been around. Final Fours. I've called playoff games in the NBA. And I will tell you that was maybe one of the six or seven, maybe five or six best atmospheres on Sunday night that I've ever been to in my life. I mean, that was as electric of a night as I can remember. From the start, from the C strikeout to end the first inning. As a baseball announcer, my favorite part of doing TV, you can't do this on radio, but on TV, is to let the crowd take the strikeout. The crowd taking a strikeout when the home pitcher strikes out an opposing player, the noise that you get is insane. And I thought that strikeout of Cease to Bregman to end the first inning on Sunday, the strikeout that Rodon had of Alvarez to close the first inning yesterday, like, the crowd was so intense. So I think Waino complimented it thoroughly. AJ has obviously been through some of the big games, and I think he felt a real sense of nostalgia for the last time that the White Sox were in the playoffs at home, and he really enjoyed it. And for me, like I said, man, Sunday night was a top five or six ever that I've been to. That was nuts. It was awesome.
Look, I don't know what AJ wants to do with his life. I mean, I'm sure he's pretty happy doing all of the commentary that he's doing, but I felt like I was listening to a guy that if he wants to manage, could, in the way that the real-time decision-making that he was making with the data and saying, well, you know what, you need to get this guy ready for this batter, and just every part of the game, and it's been known when AJ was a catcher that he was one of these guys that kind of has the thing, that he knows how games are going to play out. He's extremely smart when it comes to the game of baseball. But I swear, man, I was like, man, if AJ wants to manage, he has got himself quite the resume that he's putting together by just being a broadcaster here.
I think that, I mean, listen, Aaron Boone did the same thing. He had a really good pedigree as a broadcaster for many years. People listen, you know, like GMs hear that, you know, presidents and VPs of organizations, they hear that. They hear you when you're on those national stages. And AJ, you're right, is as sharp of a dude as I know when it comes to the game of baseball. He understands it. He sees it ahead of time. Obviously, you know the whole, you know, adage over the years, if you're a catcher, you just see the game differently. They make good managers. You know, I saw Joe Torre the other day. Obviously, we've seen, you know, Mike Socia and Joe Girardi and plenty of guys go from catching to becoming managers. If AJ wanted to do it, I think he could. I don't know how much of a sense I really feel like he wants to do it, but I think he enjoys being able to break it down from that side of things. And listen, he was critical of Tony La Russa. And frankly, he was saying the same thing that I know y'all were saying on Friday. Like, why isn't Michael Kopech pitching in game two? And now you know, I think that derailed a little bit. Not everything. That wasn't the series. But it definitely derailed a little bit of Tony's bullpen management. You know, when you get to the playoffs, it's so much about keeping the train on the tracks. Let me get as many outs as possible from my starter. I need to bridge it all the way to the seventh so I can go 7, 8, 9 with the guys that I want to use. And the manager that has a better shot of keeping the train on the tracks is usually going to win games. And I think AJ saw that from game two when we were, we didn't call game two. We were just watching. But, like, I think AJ felt that from game two when Kopech wasn't used. He saw what that was going to – what issues that was going to bring up going forward to game three. Obviously the rainout helped a little bit, and getting an extra day before game four, but he was already projecting that, like, oh, this is going to hurt him if they don't use him in game two, because they got the off day, then Sunday, then Monday. They're going to need to use him at some point. And it's same deal against Correa yesterday. He called Tony out and said, when Correa came up and we saw Kopech loosening, before Correa's at bat, before Rodon got ahead of him 0-2, he said, I don't understand why Kopech's not in here to pitch to Correa. And sure enough, 0-2, Correa drills it, they take the lead, they never give it up, and AJ saw that coming. And I think if he wanted to do this, he could. I don't know personally, and again, I'm not speaking for him.
Right.
This is only the sense that I get from him. I don't know if he wants to do it every single day, but I know if he wanted to, he really could, and I think he has all the tools and the acumen to do it.
Yeah, I mean, if the right opportunity came along, I'm sure maybe AJ would jump at it, and I would endorse him being the manager. If the right opportunity came along for AJ Pierzynski. Now I want to give him some credit as a broadcaster and give you some credit too. And the two of us, we love talking about this type of stuff. I thought that you both did a great job with some early hand-holding of Adam Wainwright. And what I mean is, you guys made him comfortable in the booth. And it's hard. Like, you drop a guy in, he was just pitching, and you drop him into the booth, and you guys went out of your way. I thought AJ was very gracious in the breaking down of stuff and saying, hey, Waino, what do you think about this? And bringing him in, I thought that you kept it really light. And the helmet nachos, man, that was amazing. Like, seeing you guys, this is from going to talk about it to, of course, the White Sox being smart enough to put it in front of you, and to see those guys, like, enjoy it the way a fan would, was dope.
Well, here's the thing, too, about, and Waino is in the middle of, as soon as the season's over, he gets 1 week to eat whatever he wants. He has an agreement with his wife that he gets to eat whatever he wants for the next week following the regular season or the postseason, whenever he's done. So the whole week, they're at RPM, one night for dinner. We're at Chicago Cut one night for dinner. Like, you're going to eat as much, stuff that you can consume as possible. So naturally, when we got to the booth, Wayne was like, hey, man, what should I get here? So we told him in breaks, we're like, all right, the Cuban sandwich, very good. Elotes, very good. Helmet nachos, excellent. You get helmet ice cream, also very good. We got into Polish sausage territory. I had to explain to him on air what the Chicago hot dog was. As a kid who grew up making them for people at a restaurant, I had to explain to him what a Chicago hot dog was. He loved it. Almost got tomato on his suit on Sunday night, but loved the Chicago-style hot dog. So that part of it for me, and Lawrence, going back to my college football days, calling games, anytime we had a blowout Friday night game, I was asking for some kind of food product in the booth. So for me, this was old territory, and we were happy to bring Waino on. But to your point, ego free, I know AJ has a reputation. I don't know if it's among fans in Chicago necessarily, because I think they know him a little bit better.
Yep.
But I think fans around the country kind of have this sense of, like, oh, well, AJ must have a huge ego and he's abrasive on air. So he must, he's acerbic. So he must be like a jerk or something. That dude is ego free. Adam Wainwright is a tremendously smart dude. And AJ recognizes that and knows that Adam's in it right now. He's pitching right now. He's going to challenge him a little bit, but he's also going to bring him in. And I think a pitcher-catcher discussion back and forth, how do we approach this hitter? And AJ obviously being a hitter, hey, man, if I'm looking at this, this is how I want to swing. Adam talks about how he approaches it from the mound. It's a perfect mix if you have two ego-free people doing it. And those two gentlemen are ego-free. It made my job incredibly easy. All I had to do was focus on the game, getting these guys where they wanted to go, and trying to keep the train on the tracks again. And it was very easy to do when you have two guys that are friends, first off, because they were teammates with the Cardinals for a little bit. They're teammates, they're friends, they get along really well. They both recognize each other as intelligent people when it comes to the game of baseball. You know, I think Waino has a little bit of a lighter touch than AJ.
Yes.
Which probably lightens AJ up a little bit. I'm more of a guy on the lighter side. So, you know, I vibe with both AJ and Waino in that sense. So I really, really enjoyed it. It was a great mix. And, you know, it's our second year doing it. Waino obviously missed the first game because he was just coming off the wild card game. But, you know, to do this the last couple of years with those two guys has been really, really fun.
It's interesting because I've never not liked Adam Wainwright. You know, like, he's never been one of those guys like, oh, I hate seeing that guy coming. But as the series went on, I was like, I really like him. Like, with the way that he was talking about Chicago and him going to the Art Institute, a lot of times when you're talking about, you know, players or broadcasters, they're so laser focused on the task at hand that they don't get an opportunity to really enjoy some of the places that they are. And it's clear to me that if he's coming up here to be at Wrigley, he took advantage of being in Chicago. And it came as a Chicago when I was like, this guy actually enjoys our city and was here to tell you about it.
Yeah, what's not to enjoy, first off? And second off, like, Adam's a sharp cat, man. Like, you heard him talking about, you know, like, his art history background and, like, learning, like, going to the Art Institute, asking – is it a bean? Like, it's a funny thing. Like, you know, the Cloud Gates sculpture, like, he's also willing to poke fun at himself, willing to admit when he doesn't know something. Like, and listen, on air, he would say, like, hey, what's Jose Altuve's walk rate? Can we get that? I was like, no, I got it for you. And, like, you know, I look in my notes and I got it. But, and we can add that. But, like, you know, so he's not the traditional, like, polished TV guy, but I think that's a good thing. You know, I think that's a good, especially when we get to this point of the year. And it helped us, obviously, Lawrence, because, you know, game four was rough. You know, that game got out of hand after, you know, the fourth, fifth inning. And those last four innings were tough. They were a tough watch, especially for Sox fans. So I'm sure, you know, if they were paying attention, if they were watching, maybe it was nice to hear a little bit of a lighter conversation at one point while we're getting through, you know, the sixth and seventh and eighth innings before we start to wrap things up. So Waino's just got a good feel for it. He's a smart guy. He's got varied interests, you know, dropping a Disney reference and talking about the bean and talking about hot dogs. Like, it's a baseball game still at the end of the day. And especially if the game's not carrying it, the game's not as entertaining as we would like it to be as the broadcasters who are sitting in the booth, at least we can have a little fun with it. And hopefully the fans enjoyed that.
I also appreciate, and I should have just texted you this, but you're here, so I'll just tell you, I appreciate you representing on the creator of CloudGate. And I appreciated you representing when you were talking about Sean Desai's history during the preseason, that you're out here educating people and representation matters. And I, as someone, I was like, yeah, that's my man out there representing right now. And that's a very, very good thing. Before I let you go, bull season, I don't know if I've been this excited for a bull season in 6 years when it comes to this team that's been put together. As the play-by-play man of the Bulls, what's exciting to you?
Well, first off, the quote today, you know, Patrick Williams, my ankle feels good. That's a good start, because now I would like to see if he can play on Friday in the preseason finale and maybe get a little bit of run with the rest of this group, because I don't want to say they've proven anything. They have not. This is preseason. But you see flashes of an ability to play small, and they're going to have to play small this year at times. Even when Patrick Williams is in the lineup at the four, they're still going to be a little bit small. And in rotations, they're going to get smaller. I think they've shown flashes and ability to play small. And if Williams can give them the depth that we feel and the ability and the scoring ability, more importantly, the rebounding and defense that I think this team needs, buddy, there's not a lot of holes in this team other than maybe a lack of size across the front line. Other than that, they can score from anywhere on the floor. The defensive end is going to be a lot different. Ball and Caruso, these dudes are long.
Yep.
Patrick Williams is long. DeMar DeRozan is long. Zach LaVine improved as a defender during the Olympics. I'm not telling you they're going to be a top five defense. I'm not telling you they're going to be the Bucks, but I'm thinking they might be a top 15 defense in multiple metrics, not just scoring. And if that's the case, they're going to run. And when they run, they might run teams out of the gym. That's them at their best. If they're healthy and they're running, buddy, this is going to be special. This is going to be a different – this is like Clipper territory we're talking about. You know, you heard Stacey call him Shy Slamma Jamma. if you're hearing that this year, that means this team is playing good defense and they're running with the ball. And I think that's going to be something very scary for the rest of the Eastern Conference. That's my like most positive spin on it, but I'm basing that off of flashes we've already seen.
Watch Adam Amin call Bulls basketball on NBC Sports Chicago with Stacey King. It's always tremendous. That crew is really amazing. Our guy Jason Goff is part of it. The whole crew is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Sir, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. Continued success and good health, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
That is Adam Amin. He's terrific, man. See, here's the thing for White Sox fans. Someone texted in and said that booth was great and it made it easier for the White Sox losing. It was kind of like a quiet as it's kept. It was kind of like a White Sox booth with Adam Wainwright. You know what I mean? It's like, here's AJ and here's a guy from Chicago. I thought they did a very effective job of telling the stories that needed to be told. They had fun. And I think that what they did in the broadcast for baseball in particular needs to kind of be the blueprint of it. And if you're going to make us sit through 4.5 hours, that ish got to be fun. And I thought they brought the fun. Shout out to Adam and that whole crew. And yeah, I feel like if the right offer came along for AJ, he'd be interested. If only there were a place where AJ could manage. Huh. If only there was a place where it would make sense for him to manage. Huh. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago. Middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
I thought it was fitting yesterday that as the season is tumbling to a horrific end, that the thing that was bothering Tony La Russa most was that Jose Abreu got hit again. Yes, it is problematic that Jose gets hit as many times as he does. To me, retribution is not the answer. To me, all of that is entirely silly. I don't think the Astros were actually throwing at Jose Abreu. That doesn't help Jose when he's bruised up. Intent didn't really matter. But the thing that bothered me is that he tried so hard to get thrown out of that game yesterday. And it was a good job by the umpires to not throw him out of the game. You want to come out here twice and say what you need to say and point across at Dusty Baker while Dusty's just sitting there laughing at you because his team is moving on and your team is going home? That's cool. It looked like that moment looked like everything that all of us feared when the White Sox brought in Tony La Russa. In the middle of them losing this series and being embarrassed 10-1, here was the baseball police out there for the whole country to see him slide on out to the field and talk about some wrong that needs to be righted. And then what happens in the postgame? Instead of a real focus on what the White Sox problems are, you had the baseball police yet again trying to tell you everything that's right and wrong at the game. There are plenty of people that I will hear on the topic of character, but Tony La Russa is not one of them. He has no standing when it comes to talking about that, so he should just shut his mouth on the topic and go away. I'll talk with Parkins and Spiegel next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh,